The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Elizabeth Dutton.
Yes, Zarin Burnett.
You know what's ridiculous?
Yeah, I'll tell you what's ridiculous. There's a name for the wave-shaped blob of toothpaste on your toothbrush.
Let me guess. Philip.
Rhonda. It's Nurdle.
Nurdle.
A Nurdle.
So that shape, that like swoop that you see is called a Nurdle?
Yeah, I guess two of the companies were fighting it out over being able to use the striped little swoop
so
of
like
toothpaste.
Aqua Fresh and Colgate were battling. And okay.
Yeah. And so a Nurdle.
Did that word predate the toothpaste?
I don't know.
Is it like a shape that was a...
Don't know. Don't care.
Nurdle. Well, that's a pretty good one. I learned what a Nurdle kind of is.
Yeah. And it goes by the motto, don't know, don't care, Nurdle.
Well, in that spirit, I've got one for you. You ready?
Yes.
How about the story of a symphony violinist who becomes the target of a self-described high-end art thief, who has, as his heist partner, a Tupperware salesman and local barber named Universal Knowledge Allah.
What? Wait, oh, there's a lot going on in that.
Right?
Wait, did you say Tupperware salesman?
Yeah, so he was a Tupperware salesman. Well, Tupperware consultant, technically, is what he liked to go by.
I feel like I'm
and,
in for
local
a
barber.
Wild one today.
Oh, yeah. And if, like me, when you heard the name Universal Knowledge Allah, you were wondering, yes, he is. Now, get ready for the art crime of the century of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Wow.
This story was sent to us, by the way, by a fan of the show, Thomas S. He sent an email to the Ridiculous Crime tip line, and Thomas S. suggested that we look into the story of the stolen Lipinski Stradivarius.
Oh.
Right? And I quote, "I have a suggestion for a crime. It's probably one of the more recent ridiculous crimes that has happened in my hometown here, Milwaukee. Someone stole a 300-year-old Stradivarius violin. Well, more like a violin jacked with a taser."
Wow.
Thanks for the tip, Thomas S. from Milwaukee.
Thomas, that's amazing.
Okay, so Milwaukee barber named Universal Knowledge Allah, self-described high-end art thief, stolen Stradivarius. You ready?
I'm so ready right now.
Sit back. We got a wild one. This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous. Elizabeth, did you know Willie Nelson named his guitar after Roy Rogers' horse?
No, I didn't know that. What's the trigger?
Yeah, good one.
There we go.
Look at you.
Look at me.
Now, if you had to guess, how long do you think Willie Nelson has been playing the same guitar?
Oh, man. A long time. He's worn holes in the front,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably hit a couple people with it over the years.
Get a little too close to the stage. Just back up.
Are those holes for smoking out of?
Yeah, he wants to be able to smoke, so he strummed the hole in.
That was a weak, weak Willie Nelson joke right there.
We'll let it pass.
Low-hanging fruit.
Well, I'll let you know. 7 decades.
Well,
the better, part of 7 decades.
Sure.
He bought it in 1969. A drunk at a show was stumbling around and stepped on his old guitar, crushed it. Completely destroyed it, right?
Uh-huh.
So it was a company called a Baldwin guitar. I'm not sure if you know guitars. It was called a Baldwin.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So a couple of his band members tried to console him after he lost his Baldwin, and they took him down to this luthier, a very famous one, Shot Jackson. Now, Shot Jackson looked at the guitar, and he's like, nah, son, nothing I can do for you, Willie. That guitar was busted for good. You're going to need a new one. Now, Shot Jackson, he offered him a classical-style guitar. It was a Martin that he had in his shop, like one of those nylon string, really nice classicals.
Nice,
okay.
Man.
So Willie thanked him for it, and he's like, okay, Shot, get it in shape, and I'll come back and pick it up. Now, while he's out on the road a few days later, he gets to thinking. He's like, And he calls up Shot Jackson. He's like, Shot, can you take the guts out of the old Baldwin and put them into the Martin? But when I say guts, I mean like the pickups, the electronics of the guitar. Now, Willie, he takes this beautiful...
But wait, this is an acoustic guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's putting really in pickups.
Oh, inside.
Yeah, inside.
Okay, yeah.
There's like...
Okay.
Anyway, I wish I knew more to be able to explain like how the pickup situation works. Like, I have all these friends who are musicians.
No,
and
I'm
embarrassed that I can't say it. But I do know what a luthier is, so we do have at least the right word. Okay, so a few days later, he said, take out the guts from my Baldwin, put it into my Martin, and he basically merges his first guitar and his second guitar, and he turns it into this like super soulful, electric, classical beauty of guitar, right?
Yeah.
And he has kept that guitar for 53 years.
Wait, did you say 7 decades, though?
Yeah, because 69, so 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, early aughts, the teens, and now in the 20s. 7 different decades.
Oh.
Now, he's not had it through a full 7 decades. He had it for 7 decades.
In part of seven different decades.
Right. I know. I always had a hard time with that when people would say that, because it sounds like way more time than it is.
I think it's a way to exaggerate the amount of time.
I just wanted to say for 7 different decades, he had this guitar. And 53 years is the total. So if you're like a stickler on numbers,
he's
53
had it for
years.
53 years, and yet he's only 46.
Yes, exactly.
Figure that one out.
Clean living. So my point is basically the musicians love their instruments. And this is something that I don't quite understand as a non-musician. Now, your brother, he's a musician.
Yeah,
love up on his instruments?
He wrote the guitar melody and played the theme song for this show.
Yes, he did.
He's very particular about his guitars. He loves them.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost some over the years.
Now, did he like mourn them? Is anything?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, got stolen out of a car, so that was rough.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
Yeah, no, he loves them.
Yeah, no, I can totally see that connection. Like, I don't feel that way about like a laptop. You know, like, oh, this is my writing instrument. And you don't have typewriters anymore as a writer for the most part, unless you're being precious. And so it's like you don't really have that attachment to an instrument.
Well, and I think with a laptop, it's not they don't each have their own sort of personality. So you could have like a couple different Macs, and it's basically the same thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
But with a musical instrument, there are just slight variations and little complexities that make each one a little bit individual.
Yeah, and there seems to be a relationship. And you know this. I once interviewed Willie Nelson on his tour bus, and I got to ask him about Trigger. And he was telling me, basically, when he's up on stage, having Trigger there, it's like a partner for him. And so basically, when he messes up, he has Trigger there that kind of gives him this anchor. He said, basically, and I quote, "I just hope I remember Whiskey River. And if I forget the words, I can always just play an instrumental. That's where Trigger comes in." So he always has like Trigger to fall back on. It's like he's never alone when he has his guitar.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know. I just like that. Right. And now my next question for you is, what do you know about Antonio Stradivarius?
What do I know about Antonio Stradivarius? Made violins, right?
Yes. Ding.
Yeah. Okay.
So do you know that like they're the best violins, like one of the best musical instruments ever, right?
Yeah.
He made in his career 1,200 violins.
Wow.
Right. Now there are about 650 of them that are left after all these centuries.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't just make violins. He also made guitars. He made mandolins. He made violas. He made cellos. A lot of stringed instruments, right?
Yeah.
But the violins are what he's world famous for. So they're the one people try to collect because they're basically like a piece of art that you can play music on.
Yeah.
And just like a piece of art, they're worth insane amounts of money, right? So Stradivarius, born in the 1600s, lived till the 1737, and mad workaholic, right? Dude is just constantly making instruments. And to this day, no one knows what his secret is. They do not know why a Stradivarius violin is so special and why it has that unique sound.
Hmm.
Now, there's theories. Have you ever heard about this?
No.
So there's theories that it was the varnish. There's theories that it was these trees that come from the Cremona region of Italy, but the trees are now extinct, so like, they can't really test that. Yeah,
wow.
And there's also this Bosnian wood that they also believe. So there's all these ideas, these theories, right?
I think it was his gentle kisses.
That's the other theory, is it was Stradivarius mm-hmm. himself and his lips.
Gentle kisses.
But not actually his lips, but the idea is that he was able to...
I didn't say lips, I said gentle kisses.
Oh, like butterfly kisses? Like,
just gentle kisses. Go ahead.
Okay. So Stradivarius would impart like himself via his lips to these violins. And he had like these skillful hands as a woodcarver and everything, right? Now, to the point that he was able to kind of, you know, get his soul into his instrument.
Yeah, he's like imbuing it. It sounds like a water for chocolate.
Much like
situation.
Water for chocolate. That's, I mean, how many times do I say to myself, you know what this reminds me of? It's like water for chocolate. It's
so I'm right.
You're 100%. You don't see me arguing, do you? 100% right. So the violinist, Joshua Bell, he plays a Stradivarius. He's a professional concert level violinist, very famous. He has spoken about this connection that he feels with his Stradivarius. And I quote, "The connection between violinist and violin, it becomes almost like your soulmate. Some people compare it to getting married. Finding the right instrument is probably harder than finding the right wife." Now, setting his casual sexism aside, there was also another fellow concert violinist, David Sarser, and he also plays a Stradivarius, a 1735 Stradivarius. And Sarser said, and once again, I quote, "I have no desire to play any other instrument. It has become a part of me, and I became a part of it." Now, he said this after his Stradivarius was stolen.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he lost a part of himself. Now, the haunting part is, like, he would see pictures of it posted from, like, in Japan. He's like, "Someone in Japan, can you go check on my Stradivarius?" And people wouldn't help him, so he was never able to track it down.
Why wouldn't anyone help him?
Well, he didn't know anyone in Japan. I mean, he's just, like, shouting out. It's like if I said, "Hey, someone in Oklahoma, can you look for that car?" No one's going to respond, you know? So, anyway, I mean, obviously, he was famous, so
weird.
It wasn't quite as bad as me yelling for my car in Oklahoma,
well,
but you get the idea.
Yeah.
So, these Stradivarius violins, they're often a target for thieves, right? Now, in the last couple decades, like, I think 3 decades, the FBI has tried to solve 6 different cases of stolen Stradivarius.
6?
How many do you think they solved?
I would say 2?
Well, not bad. 3.
Oh.
Yeah, they got a half clearance rate on this.
Okay.
So... my favorite of all, I looked up a bunch of these stolen Strat stories. My
uh-huh.
favorite has to be the story of the Gibson.
Oh.
It's a 1713 Stradivarius. Now, of the 650 or so the remaining Stradivarius, they all have these provenance nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, violinist Bronislaw Huberman owned the Gibson, right? And it wasn't just stolen from him once, but Huberman got this violin ganked twice.
Oh, unlucky.
Yeah. First time it's in his hotel room in Vienna. The next time, that was 1916, right?
Uh-huh.
Next time is in 1936,
so
20 years later.
So he recovers it in the meantime.
Yeah, it's just very briefly stolen in the Vienna hotel room.
A little quickie.
The second time is in 1936. It's in his dressing room in Carnegie Hall.
Now,
he's on stage. He's playing a different violin.
Uh-huh.
Right. And Huberman has been traveling around America and he wants to raise money to found the Palestine Symphony Orchestra.
Okay.
So he's on the road in New York and he's getting ready for his big engagement at Carnegie Hall. It's going to be a big breadwinner for him and his organization. It's February 1936. So it's wintertime. People have big coats and all that. Right. And now he's playing a rehearsal for his night. Someone sneaks backstage and steals the Stradivarius.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Poor Huberman. Right. Huberman goes into a full on meltdown. Now, this is the second time it's stolen. What's the likelihood that it would go get it back a second time?
Probably not.
I'll just tell you zero. The chances
yeah.
are zero. Absolutely zero. He
yeah.
does not get it back. The Stradivarius goes missing for 50 years.
50 years?
50 years.
So it...
Huberman passed away in 1947, so he never sees it again.
Puppy.
But it is recovered in 1985.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this jazz cat had been playing it the whole time.
Was the jazz cat the one who stole it?
No, his friend stole it and basically offered it to him for $100.
Was he an animated jazz cat that tiptoed into Carnegie Hall? This totally sounds like a Bugs Bunny episode.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, when I say jazz cat, but he's
yeah, I know.
So this dude, he covers it, the Stradivarius, in black shoe polish.
What?
And he starts playing, like, two a nights in Harlem jazz clubs, and, like, he's doing overnights in, like, Newark, but he's playing weddings in Philadelphia, whatever he's got to do. He's got this Stradivarius with black shoe polish that he's playing the most amazing music from, and everyone's just like, oh. On his deathbed, he feels, like, I guess, guilty, and he finally admits to his wife that his beloved violin is actually a Stradivarius. She's like, wait, honey, what? So, yeah, and he's like, yeah, can you please, like, do the right thing? And his wife's like, when did we have money for a Stradivarius? And he's like, no, I got it for $100. Remember, Raymond, I got it for $100 back. And she's like, okay. So she holds on to it for 3 years. I don't know what she's doing in that time, but it's for 3 years' time. She goes to Lloyd's of London. She's like, here's the violin back. And they're like, man, lady, that is the most honest stuff we have ever seen as an insurance agent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, she's not going to be able to move it.
Well, she could try.
Yeah, I guess.
So they give her $236,000 as a finder's fee.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
Yeah, and it eventually gets sold at an auction for millions of dollars. And it's now owned by Joshua Bell.
Oh, there he is.
The thing that was harder to find than a good wife.
Right.
There it is. So
he's got multiple wives now.
I'm not going to get into the man's personal life. Now, I promised you a story of the crime of the century from Milwaukee.
You did make that promise.
And it includes a stolen Stradivarius, a self-renowned art thief, and an amateur barber and Tupperware pusher named Universal Knowledge Allah, or Uni to his friends. Now that we've familiarized ourselves with Stradivarius to understand how people can get these obsessions, I will introduce you to the curious story of the theft of the Lipinski after this break.
Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals too. I don't have to worry because Simply Safe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. Simply Safe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying Simply Safe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Elizabeth.
Zarin.
It was a dark and stormy night in old ice tray cold Wisconsin.
That sounds chilly.
Now, when I say cold, I mean it was cold. I mean, this night was so cold. How cold was it? I'm glad you asked, Burnett. It was colder than a polar bear's toenails, as my favorite AT aliens would say. The night was January 27th. The year was 2014. That's when everything changed for Frank Allman, violinist and resident concertmaster. Do you know what a concertmaster is, by the way?
Master of concerts.
Oh, very good. Okay, then I don't have to explain it.
Yeah, perfect.
So that night, Allman was leading a quartet at Wisconsin Lutheran College, right? His foursome had played The Quartet for the End of Time by Olivier Messiaen. It's an emotionally wrenching piece. Imagine the audience sits in silence for about 20 seconds when they're done. That's how emotionally they're drained they are. And then when that 20-second pause is done, they erupt into applause.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. So this guy's just experienced and a beautiful, amazing, like moving night. And he was the one who was like both the concertmaster and one of the performers. So he's just buzzing off this,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Okay. So that's where his head is at. Okay. Now, after all this, he goes and he walks out into that 6 degrees below zero. And, you know, he's worried about his instrument, right? Because you can basically denature and harm one of these instruments. They're so fine, the wood is so brittle, and so forth. So he and another musician, this is about 10 p.m., a little bit after the reception, everyone is gone, the parking lot is pretty much empty, the musicians are leaving, they have a plan to meet at a restaurant later. Two of them, he and the clarinetist, are walking out into the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to picture it.
Yes.
Allman and the clarinetist are walking to their cars together, right? The pianist and the cellist from the quartet have a plan to meet them, as I told you, at a restaurant. Allman carries the Lipinski in its case, slung over his shoulder. It seems a little worried about that severe cold. Now, as he approaches his car, he spots this minivan idling in the parking lot, parked right next to his car in an empty parking lot.
Suspicious. That's the kind of thing that they were trained as women to be like, I'm not going near my car right now.
Yeah, and it's idling.
Yeah, no.
So Allman later recalls, and I quote, I sort of walk briskly to my car and I notice an unusual Scooby-Doo looking van backed in next to my car, and it was running.
Wait, Scooby.
Yeah, exactly.
This Scooby-Doo looking whatever.
So there's a woman slouched in the driver's seat. She's wearing a parka, and on her head is a big furry hat. And the way he describes it, it sounds like a furry cake box just kind of balanced on top of her head. Now, Allman is almost to his car when he also spies this man walking at him fast,
okay,
right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and the man's wearing a heavy winter coat and a hat with ear flips, or, you know, flipped up
flippity
ears.
Flippity flaps.
Right, exactly. Now,
I think
for some reason, he's really into the hat
term.
Wear.
The professional terms, flippity flaps.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I really appreciate you insiders allowing us outsiders to understand how the fashion stuff works.
I like
works.
Precision in language.
Yeah. No, so the flippity flaps that he were on his hat were something that caught the attention of Frank Allman, right? Now, he probably should have been paying more attention to the man's eyes and the something in his hand, right? So the guy's coming at him, and they're in this parking lot. It's completely empty, right? The only other musician is, like, over by his car. He's, like, hanging out near a Chevy Volt. And yeah, so there's a Scooby-Doo looking van, his car, Frank Allman's car, and a Chevy Volt.
It's a murderer's row in this
place. So Frank Allman's thinking as he's looking at this dude walking at him fast, quote, I thought, why is he getting closer? And why is he trying to take my picture?
Oh, bless.
Yes, I love a concert master.
Yeah, he's just riding the high of that show. And then, you know how classical music groupies are.
Why is this guy trying to push up on me right now? I just need to get to Denny's and chill. I mean, why you gotta be like this? Get off my jock, son.
Denny's and chill. It's the best.
So
he's all, hey, girl.
Allman turns out to be, sadly, mistaken. The man did not want to get on his jock or to take his picture. The flash that he suddenly sees coming is from the taser that the strange man pulled out and flashes him with, right?
So not a fan?
Not a fan. He goes, a very jarring electric shock is how Almond remembers it later. He said that he was, quote, it's like when you get hit with 50,000 volts or so, I suppose. I just love the idea. Yeah, like this dude's like an expert on, hey, Frank, is this 50,000 volts, 30,000 volts? What do you think?
Well, it's also when he adds, I suppose, it's sort of like, it's like getting hit with 50,000 volts. Not that I know what that's like, guys.
Yeah, I'm not sitting at home with a generator and some salt water yelling at an intern, crank it up! That's not what I'm doing on
weekends.
I don't
know anything about that, but I mean, like, I guess if I were to have to think about it.
Well, this taser, it does its trick on old Frank Almond. He gets shocked, literally, figuratively. He shrieks, slumps to the ground, incapacitated, right? He's like, and then plunk, right? And so now he's sitting there. Stranger just reaches down, plink, grabs the Strat off of his shoulder, runs over to the Scooby-Doo-looking van, and jumps in. The stranger and the Scooby-Doo-looking van tear out of the parking lot, or more likely go putt, 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 putting away.
With clouds of,
yeah, exactly.
Clouds of Scooby snack smoke coming out of the van.
Purple and green. So the clarinetist, by the way, I told you, was in this parking lot, just over there standing at his Chevy Volt, and he watches when Almond is shouting, right, getting shocked, and he looks up and he's like, oh, and he says he basically just stands there frozen, and he watches the guy get in the minivan and then the Scooby-Doo minivan puttering out of the parking lot, and then he runs over and then he's like, Todd, they got me, they got the violin. That's what Almond was shouting. And then Todd the clarinetist runs over and he's like, oh, they got the violin. And so he's like, let me call 911, and he calls 911, and Frank Almond's like just freaking out, like he just starts falling apart, like, you know, they stole a part of himself.
Did he call 911 by pulling the clarinet out and just like, like issuing a call forth into the night, and then like local cops down the street hear it and like, oh snap, it's Todd.
Todd, yeah, Todd the clarinetist.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe. I think that's what,
like,
happened.
Blowing it like the shofar, just like I don't quite know, that wasn't in any of the stories I read, but
I think it's safe to assume.
It's possible, yeah. We're gonna say it's a possibility.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, there's Frank Almond. He's just like sitting there freezing in his light jacket and muttering to himself, this is my worst nightmare. This is my worst nightmare.
Aww. Right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a tough one.
And he's
for
only
him.
Wearing a light jacket?
Oh, yeah, because he thought he was just walking to his car and then going over to Denny's or whatever.
He was just wearing a windbreaker.
Yeah.
He thought he was only going to have to break wind.
I'm going to give you that one.
Thank you.
So 5 minutes later, the Milwaukee cops arrive. Right?
Yeah.
Now, these are just basically Milwaukee, you know, beat cops or patrolmen, all right? They're not like the FBI art crime team. They do not understand what is going on when they arrive.
Okay.
So they just see these two musicians huddled like in a parking lot going, my violin was taken.
Yeah.
Right? And they're like, oh man, that sucks. So like, do you want like $400? Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, probably call your insurance. They'll handle this. And
well, it's not like Milwaukee is a hotbed of high-end musical instrument crime.
No, so I don't think
so. You roll
so.
Up on that parking lot and you're like, all right, who are these two goofs? I'm like, yeah, all right, okay, do we need EMS? Like, you know, once that's ruled out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody's bleeding, so it looks like no harm. We're going to, you know, take the report.
Yeah.
And then you guys take this to your insurance and they'll handle
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
That. Well, it turns out the Lipinski is valued at between $5 and $6 million.
Stop.
Yeah.
$5 and $6 million. Dollars.
The cops continued to not understand this, even when they tried to explain the value of, like, how they just like, that couldn't be right. That's just, come on. Like, okay, buddy. Yeah. $5 or $6 million.
I know. It's invaluable
sure.
to you.
Yeah. Okay.
What'd your mom make it?
So the clarinetist, he gets, you know, he's like really frustrated. Todd, the clarinetist, he's like, this is just not right. So he goes and leans on his Chevy Volt and he calls.
I love that you keep pointing out it's a Chevy Volt. It's just
to me
so
every time
tickling.
I read it.
I love it.
So he goes and he calls the orchestra's development director, right? Mm-hmm. And then this leads to a daisy chain of phone calls, right? He gets to the orchestra board, like the basically one of the board members of the orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
He's in South Carolina at the time on a golf trip. Eventually, this daisy chain eventually gets to him. He is friends with the chief of police. So at 12:30 on that Monday night, he calls the chief of police and is like, you've got to handle this, right? The chief of police is like, oh, the chief of police is cultured. He knows what the Stradivarius means. He knows this is going to be like national news, right? So he immediately wants his guys on it.
Todd is clutch. Can we talk about that?
Like, Todd's amazing.
The idea that he's going to talk to the development director first, that's the money raiser.
Yep.
Like, that's who's going to...
Yep. Good
Todd.
Read. Yeah, smart job, Todd.
Well done, Todd.
So the sergeant on the scene, he gets a call from the chief of police, right? And mm-hmm. the call, from what I've read, apparently goes like this. Sarge, Chief Flynn. really? What do you got? I got a guy here. Somebody robbed his violin. Listen to me very carefully. This is not a violin. This is an effing multi-million dollar musical instrument. Call the cavalry. Now, the thing is the chief of police did not say effing. I said effing for any small ears in the room. But
my small ears.
Yes, I didn't want you to have to
I've never heard a bad word in my life, and I've never said a bad word.
No, just good words. All good words from you.
They're all good. The ones I say are pretty good.
So this chief of police, he gets the fire lit under the beat patrol cops, right? And now they know the stolen violin. It's not just a violin. It is a Stradivarius, right? When I told you the Stradivarius, it's called the Lipinski Stradivarius. Yeah. The Lipinski is for the original owner.
Ice skater?
Yeah, Kara Lipinski. She was it was actually very close, though. It was Carol Lipinski.
Okay.
Violinist. Yeah, Polish violinist Carol Lipinski with a K.
Yeah.
And so it was eventually then moved on, as all great art does over the centuries. Goes to Giuseppe Tartini. He was also a composer and a virtuoso. So that gave it even greater provenance. This would be like, you know, not quite Verdi, but like that where he's like, oh, this is, you know, okay, you get the idea.
Yeah.
By 2008, this now fallen to local ownership. It's in Milwaukee. It's in a bank vault and storage. Person dies. It gets passed on to another family member in the will. Mm-hmm. So they take control of the Stradivarius. They give it to this dude, Stefan Hirsch. He's in Chicago. He's basically a refurbisher for violins, a refurbisher of luthier.
Okay.
And that's when the Lipinski is given to Frank Almond.
Mm.
Okay? And now this Lipinski is gone.
Wow.
You really feel for Frank. I respect that about you.
I do. I'm still just trying to figure out who owns it at this point. Did Frank didn't buy a $5 million.
No, it's loaned to Frank by this owner.
By whom?
The family member in Milwaukee who's unknown. It's an anonymous family member for this rich guy basically dies and gives it to a family member. And then they loan it to Frank Almond. So really, he's out of being able to play the instrument.
Yeah,
it's not even the ownership. You know, it's not that he's like, I'm losing this value.
Yeah, but if someone loans you something worth $5 million, you're going to feel terrible if you lose it. Aside from the fact that he has become one with his violin.
Yeah, I think it's more about that. I mean, I don't even think that he's even thought about the $5 million aspect. I mean, I don't know. I'm not Frank Almond.
Yeah, that's true.
No. No matter what anyone tells you,
I forgot about that.
So it doesn't take the Milwaukee police long to discover the abandoned violin case. It's been tossed on the side of the road, right? The violin...
Oh, just the case?
...is missing. It's absent. It's just the case.
I don't like that.
So the Milwaukee PD are like, oh, look, we're in over our heads. We're going to have to call the FBI art crime team.
Those guys are amazing.
Right? They're fun. I've interviewed some people.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah. They're really cool. The only real clue that they had to give the FBI was the taser.
Huh.
Yeah. Now, did you know that tasers fire a cloud of evidence anytime you use them?
No.
I did not know this either. Yeah. So the FBI said the taser gave them, quote, invaluable information. And what they mean by this is the confetti that it fires that has serial numbers written on every single piece of confetti.
I didn't know that tasers fire confetti when you shoot them.
We're learning
amazing.
So much. Yeah.
That is so
festive.
It's
the fun stun gun.
That is the biggest party. I love that.
Let's get some tasers for the weekend.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, you're in this situation where you got to tase someone and it's uncomfortable for both parties.
It's awkward, yeah.
Let's lighten it up a bit.
How do you make that mood more fun?
Hey, Happy
Funfetti.
New Year.
You get a shock and a surprise. So the FBI, all they have to do is they go out and they collect some of this confetti from the scene. They immediately now know who the distributor was. They contact the distributor, and then the distributor down in Texas tells them, oh, yes, we have the owner of record right here. Apparently, his name is Universal Knowledge Allah.
Okay, hold on a second.
Yes?
His name is Universal Knowledge Allah.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just needed to establish that.
Well, yes. As you see, you and the FBI had that same hesitation. The FBI police captain, Jeff Point, he was convinced it was a fake. He was like, who's going to name their baby Universal Knowledge Allah?
Somebody.
No, I mean, he could have changed his name. Cops, they have a failure of imagination sometimes.
That is true. That's true.
Now, if you were to name a baby, you know, some unexpected name, we'll say, what would you go with?
Well, we know that my favorite alias is Regina Corn Tower.
Of course.
So I think Baby Gina.
Baby Gina. Baby Gina Corn Tower.
Yeah. And then her little brother, Dingus.
Dingus Corn Tower.
Dingus Corn Tower. I just want to set these kids up for success. I want something that's going to look good on a resume.
Something's going to stand out. Something's going to call attention to itself.
Something that says, I'm the boss here, and ma'am, this is an Arby's.
Now, my man, Universal Knowledge Allah, the Vanity Fair wrote about this case. I recommend the article. They described him in, I think, probably a really beautiful term, quote, and he was an affable barber and Tupperware consultant. Yes, give me a second.
Sorry.
An affable barber and Tupperware consultant hoping to crack the middle-aged housewife party market.
Wait.
I mean, how can you? That's
can
the best thing you can say,
can
right?
Can I steal that for all my future bios?
No, just remember, so my man, Uni, or, you know, Universal Knowledge Allah, the FBI has been able to, now finally to track him down because of this funfetti that's been fired by this the taser, okay?
Just chunks of cake.
Now, the better part is, even though they have all that, it's the Milwaukee police who managed to somehow stumble into solving this crime without using that information.
Nice, nice. You know what? Good old-fashioned shoe leather.
Yes, exactly. We'll be right back after this break, and I will tell you how the Milwaukee PD got the jump on the FBI in the case of the Universal Knowledge Allah stun gun.
Something.
Yeah.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit nfl.com/schedule-release to learn more.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Okay, Elizabeth, we're back. Now, I told you, the FBI had figured out that their man that they needed to find was Universal Knowledge Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And I said the Milwaukee PD also found their way to Universal Knowledge Allah. So, how did the Milwaukee PD get there?
I don't know.
Shoe leather.
Shoe
Not
leather.
Really, no. They just happened to be in the right place at the right time. So, it was almost through no effort of their own. Yeah. Nothing. They just got lucky, basically.
Okay.
I'll tell you in a sec. February 2nd. 5 days after the robbery, right?
Yeah.
Things, like, there's pressure. The national news is now starting to talk about it. The story's going international. So there's, like, you know, pressure from up top. You guys got to do something. So people are, like, not, like, beating the pavement. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe they are. But this one cop, he's a off-duty Milwaukee cop Gerardo Orozco, right? And he's sitting in a barbershop on a Sunday, and someone comes up to him like, hey, man, you're a cop, right? He's like, yeah, wait, what are you talking about? I know where that stolen Strat is.
And he opens up a giant Tupperware.
Just pulls it
out. Big violin Tupperware case. Now,
are you interested in multiple container storage? Because well, I have this beautiful set.
He has a Tupperware violin case.
That's what he's ordered away already.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, you know, it was not actually Universal Knowledge of Law who came up to him with this information. It was a snitch who decided, you know, I'm going to go and see if I can make some money off of what I happen to know.
Global Knowledge of Law.
Global Knowledge of Law.
Just keeps getting smaller.
This dude that Orozco's known for a couple of years comes up and he's like, hey, man, I know where that violin is at. Now, of course, the cop wants to know more. So he's like, well, yeah, what do you got? So he's like, hey, snitch, you want to step outside? And the snitch is like, yeah, bet. So they go out and there he's like, look, man, on Saturday, yesterday, I was at a barbershop called First Impressions over on MLK. Because, of course, he was at a barbershop on MLK. That's where the snitch gets his haircut the day before by Universal Knowledge of Law.
Oh, right? At First Impressions.
At First Impressions, yeah. So he's like, on that Saturday, the TV was on, man. And the news mentioned that stolen Strat. Now everyone in the shop starts talking. I'm like, yo, man, that's a stupid ish to take. Because, like, how are you going to sell that? What kind of dumb bunny's going to go in there and try to sell a stolen Strat around here? Nobody's going to buy it. We don't know anybody's going to buy a Strat, right? So everyone's pretty much figuring it's not hard to steal the Strat. It's hard to move the Strat.
Oh, completely.
Right? So they're all on this. And one of them knows that he's involved in the crime, and he's just sitting there, yeah, man, that's right, man.
So I don't know but if you're, like, really smart, you could probably do it.
I mean, maybe somebody was like, super, really? You guys don't even know how smart you have to be. I'm like, I mean, you may even know somebody who's that smart, and you don't even know that you know that.
I mean, it could be hiding in a Tupperware container.
I mean, it could be, like, in this room, and we wouldn't know. So the barbershop is not actually the hiding place for the Strat, but they're getting to talking about how, you know, stealing it, and it's not going to be easy, and how are you going to move it, and everything. So a bunch of people are like, basically, you got to have your buyer lined up. And so the snitch is like telling this to Orozco. Orozco's like, okay, yeah, but what do you know about it? And he's like, oh, okay. All right, well, this is the part you probably want to know. See, I got to ride home with Universal Knowledge of Law, right?
So Universal cuts mm-hmm. his hair.
Cuts his hair.
And then it's like, you need a ride.
No, he was like, he actually asked Universal Knowledge of Law. He's like, hey, man, do you mind giving me a ride back to my place? Because he was about to leave the shop. And so he's like, while you're leaving, do you mind taking me? Because they knew each other. They grew up together. They had known each other since high school.
So they're like old
friends. And
got
so,
it. So it's not just him getting his hair cut from some
random
guy. And
they're like, hey, Barbara,
guy.
Do you want to just go home?
Can
why
you
don't
give
we
me-
see where this goes?
So do you want to come in for coffee?
Yeah, like, why are you touching my head? This feels really like we've done something here. Something special. So mm-hmm. maybe... Anyway, Universal Knowledge of Law is like, all right, you want to ride home? Bet. Let's go. So he goes and he's going to, like, you know, I don't know. They have to go across town. I actually don't know how far, but they're going for a little bit of a drive because it's enough for them to have a conversation. So the snitch is like, yo, Uni, man, you were saying something about there inside of a barbershop about you kind of sounded like you knew something about the Strat. And the Universal Knowledge of Law is like, yeah, man, actually I do. I know who stole it. He's like, wait, what? And the snitch, you know, he hears money in the air because everything he's saying now is like, oh, I can sell this to the cops. So mm-hmm. he's like, yeah, go on, man. Like, who could it be? That do we both know this person? You know, and so right. Universal Knowledge of Law is like, yeah, man, you know that brother Salah? And the snitch is like, oh, word, yeah. Go, what's his last name again? Universal Knowledge of Law is like, man, yeah. And so he's telling me, yeah, you know, Salah Saladin, you know him. And he's like, oh, right, yeah, Salah Saladin. What's his apartment number again? So, anyway, the Universal Knowledge of Law apparently doesn't catch up that the snitch is just basically clocking everything he's saying. So they're driving around, and Uni's like still trusting the snitch, not noticing that the snitch is basically listening in a way that is, you know, clear. He's clocking every bit of information he can. And Uni tells him, like, oh, man, you got to understand, Salah, he searched and researched everything you need to know about how to steal a Strat, man. He had all the angles figured out. Like, when he robbed that concertmaster musician the night of the show, after his show, Salah, man, quote, and I quote him, he used the electric, not the heat. I just love that expression. He's the electric, not the heat.
Oh,
what he
so
means
he
is the taser instead of using a gun, right? So
wow.
He's of the opinion this is smart because it means he's not going to get an enhanced charge if he does get caught.
So, well. You know.
Now, the one thing that Uni doesn't know is he's got problems because the taser is the evidence in this crime and his name is on the receipt. So Basically, yeah, exactly. He's basically talking about his future coming to a real dark end real fast. And the thief who had asked him to buy it, Salah, he couldn't buy it himself because he already had a record. So that's why he had to come and ask Uni to do it. And universal knowledge, Allah, he wasn't personally involved in the crime. He wasn't benefiting from the crime, but he was very much at the center of the crime, right? So everything he's telling the snitch is basically he's pinning himself.
Yeah.
He doesn't know it, though.
Yeah.
So also, there's the other key fact is Salah called him the night of the robbery. So there's also records of him, like, right after the crime, he called to check in, like, man,
right.
I got the instrument. So
oh,
that doesn't help either, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, universal knowledge of law, he gets back to the snitch's place, drops him off. The snitch immediately goes to the Milwaukee police. It's like he hits snitch lottery. He's like, oh, man. He calls up the police, and then he finds Officer Orozco the next day, and he goes, man, here, I want to tell you what I know. And he tells him everything, what he heard in the barbershop the day before, and then what he heard on the ride. So Officer Orozco contacts Milwaukee police. You know, he has an officer. He contacts the detectives. The detectives are like, wait, what? And then they got like a super solid lead. So they go right over and they talk to the snitch. They ask him to identify. He's like, who do you think stole the Lipinski Strat? Could you point at this man? He's like, that's him. Salah Saladin right there. And so he picks him out of like a photo lineup.
Oh, wow.
So now they have an ID. So that's pretty much, as you know, everything that they need for like search warrants and everything.
Yeah.
So the next day, February 3rd, the Milwaukee police show up at Universal Knowledge Allah's apartment with a search warrant. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, boy.
Right? And the search warrant the cops use to enter the place, they start going through all the stuff. They find a .357 revolver.
The heat.
The aforementioned heat. They also find, I liked this little detail, in a box of Applejack cereal was a digital scale and 27 grams of pot.
God, the details in here, the Chevy Volt,
the Applejack's pot stash. Then he also had a laundry basket with 18 other grams of pot in baggies. So all told, the cops found about 45 grams conversion rate. That's about an ounce and a half.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So it's not like he's that big pusher. No,
I'm thinking of my kitchen scale and when I'm measuring out flour for bread and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's not a lot.
That's not a lot. Yeah, exactly.
He hasn't even hit a cup at that point.
The one thing that the cops do not find, a stolen Stradivarius. Yeah, no, the universal knowledge of law, he knows they got him on the taser because they just basically say, look, man, here. And they tell him why with search warrant. He's like, okay. So he cops to that on the spot. He's like, yeah, that's me. And he confirms everything that the snitch said. And they're like, this guy said this and then this. He's like, yeah, I said that. Yeah, I said that. He just goes down the line.
Wow.
And they're like, okay. So he's arrested. And he's like, he tells him, look, I've known Salah for about 7 years. About 7 months ago, he came to me and he said, I want you to buy a taser. And I said, all right, you got the money? Bet. And he's like, okay. So now he's got the FBI at his door because this is what happens when you do a favor for a friend.
This is a life tip. If someone asks you to purchase a weapon in a legitimate manner for them because they can't, don't do that.
Just don't do it.
Don't do that. That's just my, it's just
that's
like
good life tip.
If someone comes to you with a package and says, can you hide this in your house?
Mm-hmm. You say yes for how long?
You got to really think about that answer. Because if you're like universal knowledge, he's chatting it up to people.
Yeah, he's a very trusting guy, it seems. He seems like a very open Tupperware salesman.
If he came to me with a Tupperware and said, can you hide this in your house and it was full of hair clippings? I'd say sure, but I'm never going to tell a soul about it.
Full of hair clippings.
He's a barber.
Do you think he keeps the hair? They don't keep the hair.
They don't keep the hair.
No, that's not why they barber.
I thought every hairdresser kept the hair and ate it.
No, they're not like farmers. They don't harvest the hair.
They don't put it into pillows and eat it.
The only people, like, I guess that was Elvis's barber. He tried to sell like a bunch of his hair. He like swept up off the floor.
They burn the hair for warmth.
Yeah, exactly. It's a whole hunter-gatherer thing.
It's cold there.
Well, the Milwaukee police now, after contacting Universal Knowledge of Law, they go beeline right over to Salah Saladin's house.
Mm-hmm.
They have a search warrant, actually apartment, and they have a search warrant for his place as well. So on that same day, February 3rd, the cops go from Universal Knowledge of Law over to Salah Saladin's house, and Salah Saladin is also expecting them. So he just sitting there, and when the cops show up, he's like,
playing the Stradivarius.
He just like introduces them to his place. Please come in. Would you like some? And
he's just like some apple jacks.
Yeah, some apple juice.
Apple jacks. Wink.
What would you like, huh? So the cops search, and what they do find that's basically incriminating for old Salah Saladin is a binder with color copies of newspaper articles and clippings of various art crimes of the world history.
Wait, he had like laminated things in a binder.
I thought you'd like that. All color coordinated.
So much.
Various ones. Like he had like his section on Stradivarius thefts. He had his section on other art crime thefts. And then
I 100% would do that if I were criming it up.
You would
like
have
that.
A very organized research binder for your crimes.
Yeah. Totally.
He also had a black business card, and on the back he had a little note that said, Taser.com, $500 to $1,000.
Taser.com.
So I think that's when he was probably talking to Universal Knowledge of Law, and he's like, wait, I need to go to Taser.com, $500 to $1,000. Got it. I'll see you next Saturday.
Oh, my goodness.
So the evidence, all these criminals were just leaving around, like, you know, funfetti, business cards, notes on the back, color-coded binders.
It's like the taser shoots out confetti and mini M&Ms.
It's like, can you imagine if you're like a Hollywood set decorator or screenwriter? You're like, I can never get away with this. Like, what the hell?
That's why they don't do it. It's like a pinata of pain.
Yeah, pinata of pain and evidence. There was a detective named Billy Ball, because of course there's a detective named Billy Ball. And he's the one who interviews the suspect, Salah. And Salah confidently tells the cops that, you know, as I said, he'd expected them to come. He said, and I quote, I figured you guys would be coming. Detective Billy Ball's like, why? Salah expanded, because of my reputation.
Oh.
What reputation? The detective asked him, right? And he's like, my reputation as a high-end art thief? Salah explained.
He's like, Milwaukee's most popular art thief.
Like, you've probably heard of me. I'm kind of a big deal in the art crime area.
He's an art thief influencer.
I'm an emerging art thief in the Milwaukee area. So anyway, he gets arrested. So now Salah is like... The whole ring has been popped. Universal Knowledge of Law, right? The only one that we don't have is the driver of the Scooby-Doo minivan.
Oh, yeah, the gal. Huh?
Yeah, we'll get to her.
Velma.
Yeah, she's still out there wrecking mayhem. But the other thing we don't have is the Stradivarius. It's not at his place either.
Oh.
Yeah, right?
The van?
Well, possibly.
Okay.
But the one good news is Salah tells him that he hasn't sold it yet.
Oh, so he's like, I'm not going to tell you where it is, but I haven't sold it yet.
Yeah, he wouldn't tell him where it is. Like, but oh, let's play a little cat and mouse game. How about that?
Teasing little minx?
Yeah, he's like writing dialogue for his own screenplay. Like, imagining the movie they're going to make of his life. He's like, it'll be a great line for me. And he just says it.
Tough guy.
Yeah.
Real tough guy.
Oh, by the way, I haven't told you how old he is. He's a 42-year-old man.
Okay.
He, you know, the self-described high-end art thief.
Yeah.
Single and looking to mingle. And he's also, he apparently dresses like a poetry professor at a junior college.
Oh, wait.
Like,
okay.
Kind of a tweedy look for him in the Milwaukee area. And he was just loving every minute of his arrest. You know?
I'm loving every minute of his arrest.
He'd been busted once before. So he was through.
Busted for what?
Well, that guy you asked.
Okay.
It wasn't a cat burglar job. It wasn't like even a smash and grab at a jewelry store. Can you guess what it was?
Was it something super mundane?
Yeah. Good guess. You're on the right track.
Did he have fake Walmart gift cards?
No, he stole a statue from a gallery. He just walked into a gallery, swiped his statue. Then he held on to it for a while until there was like enough time to pass. And then he went back and he tried to get a finder's fee for the statue.
Stop.
So the art gallery owner just called the police on him. By the way, the statue was only worth $25,000.
Only? So,
the finder's fee is like going to be 10% generally.
So that's 10%
more. He's holding out
than
for $2,500, right?
He has $2,500 more than he had when he walked into that museum.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. You know? I don't know. You see, you're the criminal mastermind in this situation.
That's pure profit, baby.
Yeah, I'm looking at it wrong. I'm looking at it like effort, labor.
In the biz, we call that pure profit.
That's just a come up right there in the biz. Telling you. I'm so glad all these industry insider terms you're familiarizing me with today.
I'm just going to, you know what, for today, I'm opening the doors.
Yeah.
I'm letting you see how the sausage
opening
is
opening the doors. You threw open the windows, too. Yeah. I see in the whole inside of the house.
Yeah.
Look how you all live. Now, as I told you, Salah got busted, right? So he confessed to the police, and I was like, oh, yeah, when I was inside, I was dreaming about my next art crime, and I was going to steal the Lipinski. And he decided, so he starts, like, fixating on it. And the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, they'd published a story in 2008 about the Lipinski and it being, like, given to Frank Allman, like, when it got passed and refurbished.
Every time you say Frank Allman, I think of, it sounds like Allman Brothers, like a different spelling, but go ahead.
I'll try to enunciate better. So Frank Allman, he became this fixation. When Salah Saladin gets out of jail, he becomes a fixation because he's decided while he was behind bars, I'm going to steal the Lipinski, right? So
yeah.
He then starts following Frank Almond around. He knows what stores he shops in. He knows what car he drives. He knows where he lives. He knows, like, even his kids' names, his wife's names. It's like,
that's scary.
Oh, yeah. He goes to one of his performances. He makes note, and he's like, I was the only black face in there. I'm like, it's Milwaukee, classical music. I'm not surprised. But I've been there, bro. I know how it goes. You just want to go and see Fidelio, and all of a sudden, you're just with the silver hairs. But anyway, so Salah, he finally manages to find somebody who's willing to help him with his heist. And then this is where his man, Universal Knowledge Allah, comes in when he says, yo, man, I'll buy you a taser, because that's the last piece he needs, because mm-hmm. he can't get it on his own, right? So he tells the police this. He's like, yeah, man, so I tell my barb I'm going to rob the local concertmaster for Stradivarius. And the police are like, go on. And he's like, yeah. And so then Uni tells me to meet him at his barbershop with the money, and he can make it happen. So he totally implicates Universal Knowledge a lot, like the worst possible partner for a heist.
Right.
So the district attorney's office, based on this information, they're like, okay, so I will offer you a plea deal. And he's like, but only if you tell us where the Stradivarius is. That's our condition for the plea deal. And you also have to plead guilty. And he's like, I don't know about that. You send
well,
it over
that's to- a plea deal. I mean,
yeah, he's like, you send it over to me on paper and I'll consider it. And they're like, okay. So he was also really counting on that taser not being an enhanced charge. It turns out that actually is armed robbery. So they're like, we'll knock your armed robbery down to just robbery. And he's like, okay, bet. It's like Milwaukee Law and Order.
We'll knock your armed robbery down to kind of armed.
Barely armed.
Barely armed.
Just angry robbery.
Aggressive robbery.
So during one of his interrogations with the police, Salah tells the local Milwaukee police, he's like, they're asking him, like, where were you going to get rid of the strap, man? Like, what was your whole plan? He's like, oh, quote, an Asian crime syndicate. That was his answer. They're like, what
that's
do you mean
like the
Asian
full stop.
Crime
that's
syndicate?
All he
is. Yeah, he's like, yeah, I was working with this Asian syndicate, man, numerous times. You probably don't even know these dudes. You know, they're in the Chicago area. So he blames it on this Asian crime syndicate working out of the Chicago area that he was going to sell the stolen Stradivarius to. But then he had a change of heart. He's just like, you know what? Forget Chicago and the Asian crime syndicate. They don't deserve the Stradivarius. The Lipinski is a treasure of Milwaukee. So he wanted to keep it in Milwaukee. He didn't want to. Yeah. Come on, man. The
He's
Lipinski.
Like, I'm not going to give it to the Chicago Yakuza. Yeah. The Milwaukee Yakuza gets it.
No, he decided to keep it.
But it's got
to
stay in town.
He's like, I stole and I want it. It becomes like the, I told
What's
you, it's an
do
obsession.
It?
It's like the My Precious. He's like, I'm not going to give it up.
He wants to kiss it the way that Stradivarius.
He wanted to kiss it where Stradivarius
kisses.
Kissed it.
Mm-hmm.
So the DA offers him his deal and he goes and he says, I'll tell the police where it is. Takes them 3 days to get him to agree. They interrogate him for 3 days. Even though he keeps agreeing, he will not tell where the Stradivarius is.
He's like, yeah, I'll totally tell you. They're like, tell us. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm totally going to tell you.
Like, what's for lunch? What are we doing for lunch, you guys? You know, I'll tell you after
I'm
lunch.
I'm going to tell you.
They're like, okay.
Tell us now. I'm going to tell you.
I mean, like, I totally am. Do we have a pencil and paper? Not that pen, a pencil. Actually, I need a pen. So he's like stretching it out for 3 days. Can you imagine dealing with that for 3 days?
I would get so frustrated.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the DA, the cops, they definitely get frustrated. Finally, on the third day, and I'm not implying that they use violence
or anything.
And on
the third day.
Yeah, the confession. So the confession comes out and he says, okay, I'll take you to the apartment. It's not his apartment. He takes it over to this apartment where he's got the Lipinski stashed.
That's where the gal pal lives, I bet.
He goes, it's on the second floor, and then he indicates, he's like, yeah, up there. And it's like a door to the attic. And the cops are like, is this a booby trap? So they get one of the SWAT guys to go up there.
And then
like,
just,
I
he gets like
up.
Tasered in the face, and there's confetti everywhere.
Surprise! So this they send up a SWAT guy, special investigator, who's trained with art crime, and he's got on like the white gloves. And so he goes up into the attic, and he finds a black suitcase. Oh, we got a black suitcase. We got a black suitcase, people. And they're like all excited. And then he goes over and he opens the black suitcase. And inside the black suitcase is a bundle.
Tupperware.
The size of Tupperware. And inside of this bundle is a blue baby blanket. And inside the blue baby blanket is the Lipinski.
Yay! I was so worried there's going to be something else in there.
The 1715 Stradivarius was unharmed. And Chief Flynn told the local news, it was handled like a baby, except we didn't powder it.
He thought of that line.
I'm telling you, everybody's working on the screenplay together.
He was
together.
Cooking that line in his head, and because he saw the baby blanket,
yeah,
and he was like, you know, with my genius creative talent, I immediately went to that. And he flipped. He workshopped it in his
He's
head.
Like, for as a former dad, or you know, I guess I still am a dad. So at the time of their arrests, law 42, universal knowledge of law 36,
mm-hmm.
both popped. Allah actually gets charged with extra stuff because of the marijuana that the cops found. So he also gets busted for not just helping to steal the Lipinski, but also for small-time pot dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets sentenced to 3.5 years in prison.
Oh, yep. Well.
The woman who was the getaway driver of the Scooby-Doo-looking minivan.
Yeah, what's her story?
So she gets charged with nothing. She does not get charged for the robbery. Turns out she's Salah's wife. So they assume that she was just kind of just dragged
punishment
into
enough.
Exactly.
She's got to put up with this dude.
They're like, ma'am, you've suffered enough.
So go, be free.
Salah Saladin, he goes through a series of lawyers, if you can believe it, on his way to his trial. He's apparently a nightmare client. And
I'm surprised he's not doing pro se.
Well, no, yeah, exactly. I'm surprised, too.
He
but instead,
reeks of it.
He decides to give a Vice interview in the middle of his job.
Oh, dear.
Which totally implicates him. He confesses in print, essentially.
His lawyer must
so,
have loved
So, yeah, his
that.
Chances of justice were, like, zero after that. And so he gets convicted of robbery and sentenced to 7 years in prison. In court, Salah actually explains why he wanted to steal the Lipinski and what it felt like for him to actually hold it in that moment after all those years of him dreaming of holding the Lipinski.
Yeah.
Right? So Salah tells the court, I got the violin in my hand, almost as if it were handed to me. And I pressed that button and my life changed at that moment, just as it probably did for him. Now, when he says the button, that's the taser. When he says him,
yeah.
that's Frank Almond.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that button, and then
confetti everywhere.
Exactly. And so I went on, he's like, I wanted to buy as many boarded up properties that I could have bought to perhaps rehabilitate those homes and create some jobs for people. So he claims that he wanted to do some like you know, neighborhood renovation based on the settling the Lipinski to the Chinese organized crime gang down in Chicago. That was his plan.
Oh, was it Chinese organized crime? I misspoke.
Well, no, actually, no, it could have been Asian. He said Asian.
Okay.
just said Chinese because last time you said Yakuza, and I didn't want to pin it on any one group.
Unlike me. I don't think he knew any Asian crime syndicate.
I don't think he did either.
I think maybe he spoke with a fellow on the subway once.
And I think he'd watched some movies.
Oh, yeah, a couple.
He's thinking about, like, I don't know, Rush Hour 2 or some stuff.
And, like, his hero narrative of, I'm going to sell it and I'm going to buy all these. It's
yeah,
like,
boarded up buildings. And
it's like they're going to close the community center unless we steal this Stradivarius.
Yeah, we need to put on a show. That's not enough money. We need to steal a Strat.
And then it's been saved and all the kids have a place to go after
yeah.
school.
We saved the orphanage. So Judge Maroney presides over the trial when my man Salah Saladin tried to go on like his whole like, I'm actually a noble criminal. The judge is like, nah, bro, that may sound like a noble thing. It may even sound like some Robin Hood-ish to you, but it's not the way it is. But I say, what if it is? Wildcat. Okay, but anyway, on all honesty, at least sometimes it could be that way, right? Like
yeah,
you
totally
could get some Robin Hood stuff going on in the world.
If he had
maybe not this time.
Tased the guy, you know? You can't hurt people if you're going to do the Robin Hood thing.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But
mostly.
like, you know,
yeah.
I support him.
Yeah, the tasing is really, I mean, so you would have been cool with if he just ran up and like grabbed his, swiped
Zoinks.
It off his shoulder and like he didn't get hurt and he's
yeah,
like,
he runs up all football guy
Todd,
style.
Todd, he got the violin.
Zoinks. And then he runs away all scattering across. And you're like, well, easy
crazy
come,
legs
easy go.
Going in every direction.
You know, if someone's rich enough to have a $5 million Stradivarius, $5 million Stradivarius.
Well, he's not rich. He's doing. Mean, his buddy's driving the Chevy Volt. These are not.
It's not
like,
his.
Exactly. He's borrowing.
Well,
he
there
just,
are a lot
he's
of violins
rich with
in
experience.
The world. There are a lot of violins in the world. I don't know why.
There's only 650 of the Stradivarius.
Well, I'm talking about other kinds.
No, 650. Well, it's been quite an adventure
it
with
has.
My man, Salah Saladin, and Universal Knowledge Allah, which, you know, that's Mr. Allah if you're nasty, or if you're the law. Now, I know it was a horrible 9 days for Frank Almond, as you've pointed out, and it was a rough go, him being separated, but it's been a hilarious hour for me.
Oh, I know. And I'm sorry for your troubles, Mr. Almond, but it's...
and your brother.
Well, he's fine, though. He got it back.
Yeah, exactly.
And it wasn't covered in shoe polish.
No harm, no fouls.
Yeah, it just smelled like Apple Jacksons.
So what do you say is our ridiculous takeaway here?
I say if you are going to go full tilt on making yourself into an international art thief,
mm-hmm.
you have to do it the way that this guy did, of just all the embellishments and the grandiose, you know. There's a lot of grandiosity going on here. Because we've got him thinking, oh, if you've heard of me, that's why you came for me, because everyone knows I'm this crazy art thief. He just picked up a statue and walked out of a place. Mm-hmm.
And that's what made him a high-end art thief.
But then you also have Almond with this, like, thinking, oh, these fans, get away, please. No press, no paparazzi.
No, I'm just trying to get to Denny's. Please, please. No, I couldn't possibly. Not again.
I love
it. When will this end?
I love all of them, and I want everything good to happen to all of them.
I like that about you. I agree with you that my favorite moment is but my reputation as a high-end art thief, that's why you've come. I correct when he's all excited when the cops show up at his door.
But I think, you know, it's better than that. Amateur barber and Tupperware salesman.
Tupperware consultant, please.
Is the best job title description. That's what I'm going to do on my taxes from now on. What's your occupation?
Tupperware consultant.
Amateur barber. The thing and baloney diver.
I also like about how Sala being like all like into his reputation, he knew he had to get caught. He was always a future failed criminal because that's the only way that his reputation would get known. Because how many high-end art thieves do we know about who haven't been caught? And he wanted to be known. So he was always planning for the moment he would get busted. That's why he made the notebook. He's like, look, here it is. It's all organized.
But then he can spend his time in prison writing up the memoir and the screenplay.
Good point. Yep. Very good point. I think he gets out.
Uninterrupted.
Right around now. 7 years.
Well, let's wait. Let's see.
Well, as we always say around here, crime is ridiculous.
As we always say around here.
We never say that.
We always say, I love crime.
So if we're talking about you telling your story, it means you've probably done something wrong and you're a criminal planned and things got ridiculous. So try not to have us know your name. Thanks for joining us. I'm Elizabeth Dutton.
I could be Zarin Burnett.
Yeah, try it on. See how it fits.
Feels good.
You can find us online at Ridiculous Crime on both Twitter and Instagram. You got a tip for us about a ridiculous crime you'd like to hear about? It can turn into a story just like this one. Want to confess to a ridiculous crime? Please do. Email us at ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Well, thank you.
Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by high-end sound thief Dave Kustin. Research is by special investigator from the Facts Crime Team, Marissa Brown. The theme song is by Thomas Cosmic Lee and Travis Universal Love Dutton. Executive producers are Ben The Bolden and The Noel Brown.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Generations Riviera Maya Resort and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.